All right. Well, it's good to see everybody come out. I do appreciate the church family coming out. You know, support is a good thing. You know, Tim McVeigh preached on that message, when does the nerves ever go away? They never go away. I agree with him, because it doesn't matter how many people are sitting in front of me. I mean, I know you guys very well. You guys are my friends. And I still get nervous. And but I thank God that he's given me the opportunity. You know, I just a little quick update on Liberty Behind Bars. I know outwardly it looks like right now nothing's going on with Liberty Behind Bars. But there's more that meets the eye, okay? Right now I may not be going into a jail or anything that way. But, you know, there's something in the way of Lord moving Liberty Behind Bars where it needs to be. And that would be me, okay? And God's got to move some stuff out of my life. Okay, this is one thing that I picked up on since the Lord has shut that door. Mm-hmm. He has showed me some things that I've done wrong, some mistakes I've made, some things that I had handled kind of sideways, not on purpose. Mm-hmm. Just somebody who is new to all of this whole entire life. I've been saved 7 years. And the Lord has thrust me into this, and there's going to be bumps in the road. Okay, so outwardly it looks like nothing's going on, but it is. Today we had our first board meeting for Liberty Behind Bars. And what a blessing that was to have that and to be able to get some bylaws and stuff, you know, voted in and set up. And all this stuff is eventually going to be very important for what the Lord's going to do with Liberty Behind Bars. Okay. Monroe County, I just reached out to the administrator at the Monroe County Jail, and I'm hoping to get a response. This guy, he's going to respond. He's not going to make me run around the corner and beg and all that. This guy's in a Baptist church, claims to be, a Baptist Christian. And he'll get back to me. He's the one who's going to get the ball rolling. So I've asked him, just going to contact you, and I want to know the next step in the process of getting in, okay? He was excited to have me there, and I believe he's going to get that ball rolling pretty quick. I got to go take another class, even with that jail. I got to go sit in there for 4 hours, and I have to take their class to teach me how they want that jail to go, okay? And I'm going to listen this time more attentive than I did Allegheny County. And if I have a question of something the Lord may put on my heart, I'm going to go to the guy and ask him. Okay, I'm not going to just assume that it's okay for me to do things, because that kind of got me in some trouble here and so on. And so trying to move on with Liberty Behind Bars. We're waiting for our we got approved for the 501c3. We're official incorporation, but now we're waiting for our tax exempt status. We filed for that, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. That takes a while. That's on its way. We're waiting for that to be approved. And then I'm going to sit down with Pastor Hain, and we're going to get and start getting some churches within a 75-mile radius to go present the ministry to while I'm out of the jail. So that gives me an opportunity there. As well as I need to go and do some training with Larry Scrant. He's the one who had the 9-step addiction program there. I need to go do some training with him. And I need to go to West Virginia, Pastor Tascone. He's got a similar ministry that the Lord has laid on my heart. He has one up and going, and I need to go spend time with him. Okay, I'm not trying to fly this on my own, because I can't. Okay, I know my weaknesses, and one of these is this is what I can't do on my own. And so I have, you know, we have board members, and we have advisors set up, and I need their help. I told them today at the meeting, don't be my friend when it comes to Liberty Behind Bars. I need your help. I need your honest opinions, and I need you guys to help me, because I have no clue. I mean, my words were jumbled. I mean, I was all over the place. I had no clue how to handle the meeting, okay? But it's all learning. And, you know, I'm glad my wife didn't step in and save me all the time, because she likes to do that, and God bless her for it, okay? She is my helpmeet. But there's times I need to struggle. I need to learn that. But I do thank God for my friends who are helping, those who are praying and supporting us. So things are moving. And if there's any prayer that you can pray for me, pray for me, is to pray that the Lord can do what he needs to do in my life, okay? Mm-hmm. He needs to teach me some things. Some things got to happen, and I see it clear as day. I do. I see it. Man, he's making it plain, because that's been my prayer. Lord, would you make this plain path? Would you make it so plain to me, because I'm a knucklehead, and he really has started making that plain for me, and I thank God for what he's doing. And it's a struggle, and it's a battle, okay? I'm not out fornicating and drinking and cussing. I'm not out doing that, all that kind of stuff. But there's stuff in my life, Pastor, that God has allowed me to do for these 7 years that he does not want in my life anymore, okay? And now I have to come to that point where I'm willing to let go of him and trust him. Trust is a huge issue. And I teach that a lot in the jail, because so many people want to teach people, especially those inmates in jail, how to trust. That's not going to happen. Okay? I believe a person needs to believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. And then He brings it to a place where they got to learn how to trust him. That's where I'm at. Okay? And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. If you will turn to 2 Corinthians 1, and I've hit on this a little bit before, with of course, he's heard quite a bit of my preaching up in the jail, but I've hit on this a little bit before, but this message is new because the Lord gave me this message for myself. Why am I going, what is going on here, Lord? What's happening with Dale? Is it over with for me? Is it over with for Liberty Behind Bars? And let me just tell you this. He gave me absolute peace and assurance that he is not done with me. Amen. I thought for sure that he was going to set me on the shelf, and that was it. I'm not there, okay? Amen. I have peace with that. I have peace where I'm at with God, and I thank God that he's not giving up on me because I don't want him to give up on me, okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 3 through 5, and it says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort where we with ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." And this is talking about the struggles of a saved person, whether it's the things that have happened in their past or the things that they're struggling with as a Christian, okay? And I just want, there's a few key words in there that I want you to realize. It says that he's comforting us so that we can comfort others. You see, there's things in our life that we have to go through that God is going to allow to happen, that he's going to put us through, not to comfort ourselves, but somebody else. There's going to come a time where God is going to open a door where I'm going to have to go deal with somebody, or Pastor Cassiola is going to go deal with somebody, or Pastor John's going to go deal with somebody, and only them will be able to touch them. You know why? Because they went through what that person went through. But today's Christianity wants to stop all that. Okay? Nobody wants to open up and say, you know what, Lord, I need to go through this so that I can comfort somebody else. No, here's the first thing people start praying for. Lord, get me out of this. The hardest prayer you'll ever start praying is, Lord, don't get me out of this. Get me through this. Amen. You'll learn more going through something than you will ever coming out of it. Number two, God's going to put you back through. If you're a called, born-again person, you are going to go through it again. God is not going to leave you alone on it. And I believe every man of God needs to go through some things or they're worthless. Okay, we have preachers out there that are worthless today because they've been through nothing. They won't allow God to bring them through anything, and they keep relying on themselves, and they can't help their next door neighbor. They can't help their own family. And so it goes on here and it says, and the purpose is to help others. It says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Why? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And verse 11, it says, "And such were some of you." You see that? There's things that we have to go through because there's a lot of us in this room who's been through those things. There's a lot of us who have been. It's talking about past tense. Okay? And God has to, he allowed that stuff to happen that we can comfort others when they're in that trouble. You know, many times people say, "Hey, you know, Dale, I met somebody, you know, they're in jail or prison now. I think they might listen to you." Why do they say that to me? Because they know I've been there. What is it in your life that you think God has done nothing with? That God may keep bringing people in your life with that same circumstance that you just can't see, that God has allowed you to go through that to help somebody else. Today, people are selfish in Christianity. I get a lot of phone calls. I get a lot of texts that people go, "I can't believe. It was just 10 o'clock, 10:30 the other night. I mean, I'm tired. I've been in a lot of pain lately. It's been, I mean, taking a toll on me." And I answer my phone. That person said, "You know, every time I text or call you, you're there."
Amen.
That's one of the things I said to my ministry, that when I start, I'm going to try to be there for every single person that calls or texts me. I don't care what time it is. Because I wish I would have had somebody out there doing that for me.
Amen.
What if I would have had that one person I could have called or texted? What would that have stopped in my life? You see? We should have that kind of heart, but today people don't want to do it. And then when people start going through things, when their families start going through things instantly, they think it's God's judgment. It's not always God's judgment. If you're living the way God would have you to live, and you're going through hard times, it's not always a judgment of God. It could be a lesson that you need to learn. It could be something that you need to go through to help somebody else. We have some people who got testimonies in our church, and I mean testimonies of health and past abuses and all that kind of stuff. You can use those to help, to be a benefit. They're not always a weakness. It's not always something that's negative. It can be used as a positive. If we would just allow that. Why? He says, because such were some of you, but you're washed. How about that? You're washed. How awesome is it to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? How about that? If I washed you in my blood, you'd still be red. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, okay? That's a wonderful thing, man. That's a wonderful thing. But he says this. He says, but you're washed, but you're sanctified. You're set apart. For who? Your purpose? No, that's over with. Your purpose? What did your purpose do? Where did it get you? Well, it got me into rehabs, mental hospitals, jails, prisons, on the streets. That's where my purpose got me. But he says, now you're sanctified. That means you're set apart. For what? God's purpose. What is that purpose? Some suffering? Going through some things that you can help somebody else? Everybody's got to have a way out. Everybody wants out of everything. Instead of staying on that dark road. And I'll never forget the testimony of that. The guy who was here, I can't remember his name, Pastor. You had him here, and I mean, he went through nervous breakdowns and everything else.
Oh, yeah, the pastor from down in
What impressed me about him is he didn't run to psychiatrists and psychologists. Mm-hmm. You could tell he struggled through that. He went through a very, very hard time to get through that. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to do that for somebody? Mm-hmm. What if there's somebody down the road that somebody's going to approach that man and he's going to be able to talk to, and that person gets saved because of that? Mm-hmm. Is the soul worth it? Today it almost seems like it isn't. Today it seems like people just don't want to go through what might need to take place in somebody's life to help somebody else out. But you are justified. And then you know what? You'll do anything for your family. I mean, my goodness, you would about die for your family. And yet they didn't justify you. You'd do anything for your family. And they didn't sanctify you. You would do anything for your family, yet they didn't cleanse you. They didn't save your soul from hell. Jesus Christ asked you for a few things and you can't do it. That's what it comes down to. What wouldn't you go through for your family? If you had to jump off a bridge to save your daughter or your son, you would do it. But Jesus Christ is not telling you to jump off a bridge. He's telling you might have to go through some things. You're not willing to do it. And he's the one who bought you. He's the one who sanctified you. He's the one who cleansed you. He's the one who forgave you for the sins. And such were some of you. And it says, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We go through because a lot of people get hung up on big things such as addictions and crimes and gangs in our past. They get hung up on that. But let me just tell you this. That's not all my Christianity is about. I know it sounds wonderful to Christians. But God is into those things that we go through, such as honoring our parents. How about that? 7 short years ago, you asked my wife, I would tell my mother to her face how much I hated her guts and I would let the stomp on them when she dies. You think God liked that? You see, it's not just about the big outward things that we have. There's the small things in our heart that people want to leave out. Those are important to God. Such as honoring our parents and anger. We come to church, man. You can't even tell some people have anger problems, but they do. You don't think God wants to put his finger on that? Absolutely. How about that bitterness? That root of bitterness that springs up and depression. Boy, I've never seen so many depressed Christians in my life, Pastor. I just haven't. Where's the joy? I don't know who I was talking to my Sunday school class this morning. I said, you know, one of the most wonderful things that Jesus Christ done for me besides save me was get me out of the darkness of depression on a daily basis. That's where I was. It was deep and dark, and I just did not want to live. You see, God doesn't just want to save you from the drugs and alcohol. He doesn't want to save you from the gangs and the prisons and stuff like that. He wants to save you from those things that are in your heart, those things that are inward. Then those things on the outward will come. we struggle with because of our past or things God wants out of our lives. Now the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you." You know, when people read that verse, you can go ahead and go, and today you can either email it to somebody or send it, or you can go and talk to somebody and say, hey, think it not strange concerning that fiery trial you're going through there, brother or sister. But yet, when it comes upon us, we don't think of that verse. We're going to go out and we're going to look for pity and sympathy and everything else. Get on your face. You want pity and sympathy? Get on your face to God and say, "Lord, why am I going through this? What is it that you need me to see while I go through this? What lesson is it?" Hey, if God left me in my comfort zone, I probably wouldn't be standing in this church today. But you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't leave me there. And if he does, he leaves me there for a punishment. And it's a horrible place to be. Okay? It's a horrible place to be. Why does he not leave us in our comfort zone? I believe this with all my heart. I believe we learn more out of our comfort zone than we do in it. When you're in your surroundings, when you're in your comfort zone, I mean, you are, that's it. But when God starts trying that and he starts pulling you out of that thing, it's very uncomfortable. You know what happens when you become uncomfortable? You have to go search for something outside of yourself. God's hoping it's going to be him. Most of the time, it's not. Like the lady who had the issue of blood, where'd she go? To the physicians first? She tried everything in her power to get help besides Jesus Christ. If she would just turn to Jesus Christ, it wouldn't have been 12 years she would have had to go through that. But see, today, people don't want to do that. So when the fiery trials come upon them, instead of going to God for help, they want to run everywhere else. We now have brothers and sisters who've been through what we're going through. Do you realize that you have brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? And I know it's hard to believe, because you know why? Because people have a hard time going to other Christians to talk to them today. It's hard to find somebody that you can talk to who's not going to go backbiting, who's not going to go and spread your news all over the place. It's hard to find somebody that you can trust and talk to today. Amen. But at one time, and some people you can go and talk to because they've been through some things. Okay, we got some men of God, Pastor Cassiola, Pastor John, Pastor Hain. He's been through some things. You can go to them. You can talk to them and ask them, "Can you help me with this?" He said, you know, he's been through some fiery trials. In 50-some years, you don't think Pastor Hain's been through some fiery trials in the ministry? Oh, he's going through them now. How about it?
Yep.
That man still comes in there with the faith of Jesus Christ. He comes in there and does steady moving forward. Steady moving on. And to tell you, Dale, Jesus Christ has me and my wife in his hands.
Amen.
Man, I wish I could handle it. Amy gets a cold and I'm about half dead. Here his wife's on the second stroke and everything else, and here he's got to work, and here he is. He's coming in there, and he's still preaching. He's still loving. He's still on point, still doing the announcements and everything. Why? Because he knows that the fiery trials are there for a purpose and a reason. He knows where he stands with Jesus Christ, and he's come to learn to trust him. If we could just get to that point where we learn to trust Jesus Christ. It says we're supposed to be family. The saying goes, blood is thicker than water when it comes to family. Well, what better blood is there to make us family than the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
But it's not that way. Not all the time. I think I've told Pastor Hain, and maybe you guys have, I'm sure I've said it to you guys before, that I've been stabbed more in the back as a Christian than I ever have as a gang member. Okay? Because that has been broken. That whole blood is thicker than water thing, that whole Jesus Christ saved us and made us family now, is pretty much out the window. It just doesn't pertain anymore. And so here we are. We're going to go out there and we're going to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're going to try to convince them to come into our church house. And they're going to come in and see the same things that they go through. Just a cleaned up version. They're going to hear the arguing. They're going to see the fighting. They're going to see the backbiting. They're going to see the bitterness. They're going to see the clickiness. They're going to see that same thing, except for it's a cleaned up version in church. Should not be that way. Blood, the blood of Jesus Christ is thicker than any water. It makes us family. God says he puts us through trials. In Isaiah 48:10, it says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Hey, do you know God has chosen the furnace of affliction to teach his children? Because he knows that if he's so soft on us, that we're just not going to listen. You know, when you're going through those trials, how much better is your prayer life? How more attentive are you to listen to the word of God when you're going through hard times? Man, you want to hear every syllable. You want to hear every single thing that's in the, and the preacher says one little tiny word and it blows you out of the pew when you're going through trials. Why? Because you're listening exactly where God wants you to be. And guess what? He's got to bring you back to that place. He tries to get a hold of your attention and he shakes you up. And when you won't listen, he says, I have refined you. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. It's a hard place to be. Dale Morey is in the furnace of affliction. And I'm okay with it. Not easy. I'm not Superman. I don't have an S in my chest. I can't walk on water. Bullets don't bounce off of me. It's a very painful time, both spiritually and physically and mentally. But you know what? I know this, that if I can't make it through this, if I cannot trust Jesus Christ to get me through this, it's over with.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
I have to trust him. He's got me to a point in my life right now, Brother Greg, that I have to trust him. He's got me to a point where it says in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, I say. Wait upon the Lord. He'll strengthen the heart. You know how hard that is? First few weeks of not being able to go into Allegheny County Jail, I didn't want to wait. It made things worse. Okay? Wait on the Lord, he said. He says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For who? For mine own sake. Even mine own sake will I do it. For how shall my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. How about that? God's doing it for his sake.
Amen.
He's not doing it for me. I'll get some benefits out of it. You realize that when we go through trials and when we go through hard times, that you're not the only one that's going to get a benefit out of it. My family benefits from when I go through those things and come out the other side. My friends, my church family, the ministry, it all benefits.
Amen.
God knows what he's doing. We don't. That's why we needed him.
That's right.
If I knew how to do it myself, Pastor, then why did I need a Savior? I needed a Savior because I don't know what I'm doing.
That's right.
Okay? Because I always ended up like this. Shackles and going to prison. Yeah, this is real fun. How do you like them bracelets they used to call them? Bracelets? That ain't bracelets to me. I don't like them bracelets. Hey, you know, it's funny because I went to Monroe County. I think I told some of you. And Pastor Sergeant Hector Sotomayor, what you want to talk about a man? He's a pastor out there in Rochester and a wonderful, wonderful pastor. He's also a sergeant in the sheriff, in the sheriff's office. And I'm going to tell you, man, that sheriff has so much respect and honor for that man's word. He said, Hector, this man's sitting here because of you. You, what you have to say matters to me. That's big for a sheriff to tell that to a sergeant. Okay, and so we don't, the whole, and my whole highlight was this. I got to travel in a police car, but I got to sit in the front seat. I'm handcuffed. I looked over at him. I said, "Brother, this is the first time I've ever sat in the front of a police cruiser, not handcuffed next to a police officer." You know, the funny thing was, is walking, and he brought me into. I went into meetings with him. With his higher uppers and all that kind of stuff, they invited me in there. But I was in when I was in there and I seen them all in their uniforms. It kind of it brought me back to those days. And I caught myself walking the way, you know, when you're in the jail, you have to walk a certain way when you're an inmate. And I caught myself walking that way with these guys. I caught myself not looking around the room because when you're locked up, you're not supposed to look at their bulletins and all that kind of stuff. And I'd be looking up like that. I go, oh, man, wait, hey, I'm here. I'm free, man. But you see how that brought me back? Now, I remember the first few times going to the Allegheny County Jail. I told Amy, I got out of there, and I was sweating, and my heart was beating. I said, Amy, I just had anxiety attacks from being in there. You see? Because I haven't yet learned and understand how free I really am. You see? What a wonderful God we have to be able to do that. And then bring those memories back just to show me, look at where you came from.
Yeah.
You remember the times, who would ever, what sheriff in their right mind would invite you to their meetings and sit in the office with them? Only God.
Amen.
Only God. So I thank God for that. You know, it's not, this is, this Liberty Behind Bars was not handed to me. Pastor, ever since Liberty Behind Bars started, I've been drugged through it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's very hard. And I just have to trust that Jesus Christ knows what he's doing. Because there's times that I look and I go, I don't know if this is Lord, are you sure? Am I hearing your voice or am I hearing mine? God, was that from you? I'm like Eli. Eli kept hearing the voice, didn't he? Who did he keep running to?
Yep.
That's me. I've yet to learn totally what God's voice sounds like, and I made some mistakes doing that. It would have been better for me to go to a man of God. It would have been better for me to go to a pastor and say, this is what I think. What do you think? But I did. I made decisions on myself thinking, I'm listening to God. I'm doing the right thing, right? And I wasn't doing the right thing. And you know what? One of the things God has to teach me is how to hear his voice.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? I got to turn the world down and turn God's voice up. Yep. Mm-hmm. Eric Balow, I'll never forget that. Taught that in my Sunday school class, and I love every minute of it. Why does God allow this for us? Because it's only out of our comfort zone. It's only in the trials of affliction that we will come to the point of absolute hatred towards this thing that God is trying to reveal to us. I've come to realize in the last 7 years that yes, there are things. Yep, I need to get rid of that. Okay, well, I'm going to get rid of that. And it doesn't go away. All right, Lord, yep. All right, this time I'm really going to get rid of it, Lord. And it's still there. Okay, this is for real. This is, look, I'm going to get on my knees. You know, I have a hard time getting off the floor. But I'm going to get on my knees to show you this is really it. Okay, Lord, you're right. I went back to it again. But this time I'm going to get on my knees and fast to show you that I'm really done with it. And it's still there. I believe God has to bring a person to absolute hatred. And I mean a hatred of that very thing that he has pointed out in order for them to turn from it permanently.
That's right. Amen.
I believe that with my whole heart, that God has to bring a person to an absolute point of hatred. And you know what? He'll keep bringing it back, and he has no problem doing it. I've been there so many times with so many things in my life, some quicker than others. Some things went away quicker than others. Some did not. Some are still here. Some is new that God's just showing me this has got to go. But until you get to that place of absolute hatred of that thing that's in your life, there are things in your life. One of mine is not honoring my mother like she should. I have honor for my mother, but not God is not happy with my honor. That's not the honor he's telling me to honor her with. And you know what? Until I can absolutely hate the way I honor my mother and do it God's way, he's going to keep bringing that up to me. He's not going to let that go. He is not happy with that in my life. I don't cuss my mom out or nothing. I'm just telling you this. It's one of the things that I struggle with. For many years. And God said, we're going to get rid of it. God has given us brothers and sisters who have been there to talk, who we can go to, and they'll talk with us and they'll pray with us. And the Bible says about the devil, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished. How about that word? Do you know your trials aren't going to last forever? They will be accomplished at one point. God will accomplish what he wants. He will accomplish his purpose in your life, whether you like it or not. Why it gets so hard is because we're rebels. We don't want to see what God wants us to see. We don't want to do what he wants us to do. We think that we still know. But he says, hey, you got brothers and sisters that have been going through these afflictions, and it's accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He says, but the God of all grace, who has called us into this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. I thought my suffering was gone. I thought it was all over with when I got saved. Different type of suffering.
That's right.
This time you're not suffering for you in your sins. This time you're suffering for Jesus Christ. You're suffering for his will. You're suffering for his purpose. You're suffering for what he wants in your life. It's a good suffering.
That's right.
Not going through it. That's why it says after you suffered a while. Then he's got some more words after that, and I always love this one. Probably one of my favorite verses, because, and I love to go to it, because he says, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Mm. That doesn't mean I'm going to be, more mature. I'm going to know how to handle things differently. When I come out of this, Pastor, I won't handle things like I did in Allegheny County. I can guarantee you that. When I come through the things that I've been through in the last few months, it's going to be different. Why? Because he's made me more mature. He's given me more wisdom. He's given me different ways to handle things, different ways that I think. Hey, one of the greatest things about God and his salvation is he changes the desires and the way you think. I happen to enjoy that. I'm glad he changes my thinking, because if he left me with the same old stinking thinking, I'd be in the same old places that I've always been. But thank God he changes my desires. Sometimes I look and go, I cannot believe that I really like that. I can't, but wow. Yes, I really want to do that. I enjoy listening to classical music. I'm just saying, that's not what I don't listen to classical music. But I'm just using something, because you would look at me and go, you never listened to classical music in your life. You're right, I never did. But the extreme of how God changes your desires and how he changes your thinking, the way you walk, the way you talk, I mean, all that stuff changes. That's what's so wonderful about God, is the things that he can do. I was not a public speaker. If I spoke in front of somebody, I was standing in a dark, dark bar, smoke, I mean, everybody's drunk and I'm singing. I'm in bands. I got up in front of people. That's what I did, stage diving and mosh pitting and all that stuff. That's how I spoke, or I fought you. But I never could get up and just speak or have a long conversation with somebody. You see, God changes all that stuff around. That's right. Everybody in jail is looking for the big things to be gone out of their life. Mm-hmm. And what would you like to be delivered from? Well, you know, I don't want to be a dope addict no more. Oh, that's it? Yeah, that's really what I struggle with. You got a long way to go. You have no clue, okay? You have no clue. It's more than just that needle hanging out of your arm that Jesus Christ wants. You, yeah. Listen, let me just say this. You can try to take that needle out of your arm all day long, and it's, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. Until Jesus Christ can get in your heart and change it, you're going to stay the same person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Celebrate Recovery, they're going to have a little bit of victory. But you know, I talked to Pastor about it. He says, you know, all they're doing is recycling the same people. Mm-hmm. It's just another program for these people to go to. You know, addicts and inmates have been programmed to program. And Celebrate Recovery is just another program for them to do. That's all it is. You know why? Because they don't care about Jesus Christ. They got the Hope House now in Wellsville, ran by the same guy. I read the article. You know what he says? No longer do you have to go to church to get help. There's their help. They're going to offer those people hell. They're going to offer those people the world. And they're going to offer the people their way and not Jesus Christ's way. And I'm here to tell you, as an ex-addict, as an ex-gang member, the only way to get off of that stuff is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There is no other hope for them people. Zero. If I have to suffer that a soul might get saved, then so be it.
Amen.
That should be our attitude. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 1 says? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. You know, if we could relate to people a little more, Stephen, if we could relate to them and tell them, oh yeah, I've been there. That just might open some people's ears. Mm-hmm. It might give you a way in that you'll be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Today, nobody's willing to pay that price. It says, make you perfect, establish. You ever do that, you ever want to read an interesting study, go on Pastor's blog there, the Pure Cambridge Text, and Paul Scott does a word study on establish and establish. You've heard me talk about it. Establish means something that has to be established, something that has to be built. So if you have Jesus Christ, you've been established in Jesus Christ. But this here says establish. Establish means it's already been established, and now something's got to be built on top of that. It's got to be established on top of that. So now that the foundation of Jesus Christ is laid, now God has to build on top of that. Well, how does God build on top of that? After you suffer a while. After you go through those things, after you go through those trials, after you go through those afflictions, then God can take what he already established in Jesus Christ, and he can build off of that. That's what that establish means. He's got to build off. Today, people don't want it. They just want to be established and be left alone. Well, God saved me from hell. That's it. I don't want any more than that. Thank God that he doesn't just leave me the same person I've always been with the same thinking that I've always thought.
Amen.
Thank God he has found in me a way to establish on what he has already established. I want him to build on that. Because why? What's it say after that? This is what it says after that. It says, that he make you perfect. Establish. Strengthen. Strengthen. Get that strength of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. How about that? Are you tired of having that strength of yourself? Are you tired of you always failing? But you know what he says here? He can strengthen you. Why? The more trials, the more strength you get, the more understanding you have. When a person goes in the military, they go through boot camp, they're trained in a few basic things, and then they send them off to war. Then you have somebody who's been there two or three times, who's been over to that war. Who do you think has more strength? That man who's been through it. That man understands. He's got more strength on how to handle stuff instead of this new jack. Well, guess what? The only way God's ever going to teach you anything is to let him put you through some things. Mm-hmm. Then he can establish you.
Amen.
He can strengthen you. And guess what it says? The last one, settle.
Amen.
That's right.
I know what it's like to be settled. And I love to be settled. I love to finally in my life to be settled where I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to move anywhere. I don't have to look for another apartment. I don't have to hope that I have a friend waiting for me down the street. I mean, I'm settled right here. I'm established. God has said, this is it. This is where you'll be. If I died in Allegheny County, then so be it. The only thing I don't like is my driveway. But God said, Dad, you got to be content with that thing. I don't want to be content with it. Driveway is full of holes and ruining our cars, and it's hard to be established in something like that. But you know what? Thank God that he's given me a home.
Amen.
That's right. It's a double wide trailer, but you know what? It's my first home.
Amen.
And I love every minute of it. You know why? Because I have Jesus Christ, I have Amy, and I have Autumn, and I have Luke. God has given me something. That means all the world to me, more than just that building or whatever structure it's made out of. Thank God for it.
Amen.
You know why? I've been through some suffering. Both as an unsaved person and as a saved person. And I thank God for it. I'm going to close with this. John 17, 14 through 20 says, I've given them my word, and the world hath hated them. You know, there's going to be sufferings if you stand for that Bible. You stand for that King James Bible, you are going to suffer. If you're not suffering, then you're not standing right. He says, I've given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. How about that? How many people will look and say, man, that person's different. There's something different about him. You know, that starts a question. That gets those people. That starts a conversation. I had it happen to me at McDonald's. You heard the story where I just went in there and simply didn't witness to anybody or anything else. And after a few months, I had a lady come up to me and say, there's something different about you. What is it? I said, I'm a Christian. She goes, I knew it.
Uh-huh.
And I never said a word. That's what this verse is talking about. Because you are not of the world.
Amen.
If they're seeing the world in you, then you're the world.
That's right.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes on and it says, I pray that thou shouldest not take him out of the world. He doesn't want us to come out of the world. He wants us to stay and live separate in the world. It says, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world. That's the second time he says that we're not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a very important matter. He says, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth.
Amen.
Verse 18, it says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You see, we're set apart for his purpose now. We're set apart from this world. That is how we are supposed to live. It says, come out from among them and be separate. People should look at us and go, there's something different about that person. They should be able to tell what is something different. They're not like we are. What is that? That's what he's talking about, being sanctified, being set apart, even in this world. Now the world, even sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. He says, verse 19, he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone. Are you ready for this? One of my favorite verses. Here is what it says. It says this, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. Verse 20. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through whose word? Through their word.
Amen.
People will believe on Jesus Christ because of your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to believe on Jesus Christ because of the way you walk, because of the way you talk, because of the way you act. If you are living sanctified and separate from this world, it says that I pray for them. Jesus Christ is praying for those very people that you might meet tomorrow. He's praying for those very people that you go to the store tonight, that you might see, that they might see that there's something different in you. Jesus Christ is praying for them right now that they shall believe on him because of your word, because of your testimony, because of your life.
Amen.
But let me just say this. If we're not willing to go through some things, they'll never see Jesus in you. They'll see the world in you. I'm going to close with this. Romans 8:28-8:29 goes along with this, and it says that we're all, excuse me, let me just turn there real quick. Let me just turn there. It's right here. I got it. Romans 8, I don't want to misquote it. Miss Ruth Ann sitting here. I better not do that. It says, and we know all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. You can't send that verse to a person, to somebody who doesn't love God. It's not for them. But we like to. It's not for them. This verse is for a saved person. It says, to them who are called according to Dale's purpose. His purpose. You see, it's not my purpose anymore. And then verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That means, that's not talking about predestination. It's talking about when somebody gets saved, God already knew that this next part was going to happen. When a person gets saved, this is going to happen. That's what he's telling you. He already foreknew that when a person gets saved, this is going to happen. He already predestined that when you got saved, this next part of the verse is going to happen to you. You know what it says here? It says here that we are going to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. That means we're going to see less of Greg and more of Jesus in you. Mm-hmm. That's his purpose for your life. If you're called according to his purpose, to those who love God, he already knew that when you got saved, that you were going to look more and more like Jesus and less like yourself. You can't do that living in the world. You can't do that not going through trials and tribulations. You can't do that living in your comfort zone. How important, my friends, are the ones you work with? How important are the ones that you go to the store and see? How important are your own children, your own family? That we wouldn't go through these things so they can see Jesus in us and not see us. You see, they need to see more of Jesus and less of us. But we're never going to get to that point if we won't allow Jesus Christ to do what he needs to do in our life. It's his purpose now. It's not for our purpose anymore. Liberty behind bars is not the purpose of Dale Morey like I thought it was. It's not the purpose to go in there and preach Dale Morey. It's not the purpose to go in there and prove anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ and his saving grace and the blood of Jesus. That's what the purpose is. Not the purpose for what Dale Morey wants. Only God is ever going to teach me to do that. It's going to come from him. My friends, I ask you to go home and read 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. And ask yourself, are you willing to be comforted of God to go through these things for others? God's asking you to do that. He's asking you to go ahead and give yourself up, be sanctified, take the word of God, live separate, and let him transform your life, and not only yours, but others around you. Pastor, I'm done.